Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your word, which inspires, which fills us, which gives us meaning and guidance and direction. As we seek to take in your word and digest it and make it our own, we pray that all that we say and do be glorifying to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? Few of you. Yeah, I've been taping it and watching it. I don't want to miss any of it. So captivating, too. The part that I really enjoy is when they show feature stories and they show the past winners and the suspense. It's exciting and exhilarating because they show these people who have won over the last year's Olympics or the year before, and they're expecting them to win again. But you know, when they don't win, it becomes so disappointing and devastating and heartbreaking. I've noticed that there are three U.S. superstars who are expected to get gold. The media hype and the hopes of the hometowns and the country, and we expect them to repeat, whether it was Bodie Miller who in the men's downhill, or Shaun White with the snowboard, or Shawnee Davis in speed skating. All of them were expected to win gold, and if not gold, at least silver or bronze. But in the end, none of them placed at all. There's an interview with Shawnee Davis, and they said to him, "What happened?" And he said, "I don't know what happened. I felt good. I felt confident. I felt like I was going pretty fast, but I guess it wasn't good enough." And then his closing remark was this. He said, "I guess I did not have it in me today." What did he not have in him? Was it the energy, the fire, the strength, the passion, the capacity to normally do whatever he needs to do to win? He didn't have it. And that was the plain truth. He couldn't fulfill the expectations, even though in the past he had proven himself, even though he could show all his medals, even though the country which he represented gave him full endorsement when it really mattered and when it really counted, they weren't able to pull through. And so they had to face the truth. I was really sad by this one German skater. I don't know if you saw this, but she false started twice. And so she didn't even get to do one heat of her race. Can you imagine 4 years of training, 4 years of expenses to set aside and sacrifice, and when the time finally arrived to go up to the starting line and then to say, "Sorry, you can't do it." Heartbreaking, disappointing, the failure and loss. In this complicated world that we live in, we're often pulled in so many directions by expectations. According to the expectations of our work or our family or our parents or society. And we fool ourselves. We think, okay, I can live up to those expectations. When Jesus showed up, when he was in front of the religious leaders, they had a lot of expectations upon him. They expected him to be full of wisdom and insight, full of power and strength to overthrow the government and to establish Israel. They expected him to have this supreme monarchy, to rule with power and might. They expected Jesus to establish the kingdom of God in their own way, according to the law of Moses. They expected Jesus to follow the laws, but not contradict them or violate them. But Jesus doesn't fulfill their religious expectations. In fact, in the leaders' minds, Jesus breaks the law. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath. In Matthew 12, he and his disciples start to pick grain on the Sabbath. In John 5, there's a man who's been lying on a pallet for 38 years, and he heals him on the Sabbath. And in John 9, he makes a blind man to see on the Sabbath. So Jesus says, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." But Jesus angers them in other ways as well. He says that he has a power to forgive sins, which they say that's blasphemy. He says that when he reads this passage from Isaiah, he says, I am the one, I'm the Messiah, I have fulfilled what I have read. And that makes them mad. Then he eats with sinners and tax collectors. Jesus doesn't play to their expectations. Instead, Jesus is making the distinction that he's fulfilling the law based on what God is expecting and not what others are expecting. And so we ask the question, well, if Jesus does that, what is God expecting of me? As we balance the whole range of expectations that we're trying to live, what is realistic in God's eyes? Today we're talking about the currency of truth, which helps us then to generate blessings and complement the other currencies that we've been discussing. The currency of truth. What is it? According to the description in the model, the currency of truth has to do with our ability to articulate global and holistic truth. More specifically, the universal experience of other people, the self-evident truths that we experience in our neighborhoods or towns or nations, and even upon the whole earth. And to affirm truth that affirms life and encourages life and promotes well-being and wholeness and balance. Truth is not supposed to oppress. Truth is not supposed to confine or imprison. Truth is not supposed to tear down or knock down. But truth is supposed to be empowering and liberating, or as John 8:32 says, the truth is supposed to set us free. So if we can give words then to those things that bind us and bring us down, that deceive or are detrimental, then let us embrace the truth. And when we identify those truths versus those things which are fiction or false or fleeting expectations that don't last, then we can start to improve, then we can start to grow, and we can begin to better ourselves. Apparently, the scribes and Pharisees, their laws were restricting and confining and choking and not encouraging life. Their interpretation of truth was doing the opposite. But was Jesus trying to break the law? No, he was trying to respond to human need. Jesus was acting out of truth and compassion. It affirms what he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, when he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. By following Jesus, by looking to Jesus, by being in relationship with Jesus, we can face our own truths. In Mark chapter 5, a woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and she had tried everything, doctors, medications, nothing worked. She said, if I only can go and touch his garments, then I will be well. And so she does. And in verse 33 of chapter 5, she says that fearing and trembling, as she touched his cloak, she did become well and fell down before him and told him her truth. That healing forced her to expose the truth, and that we don't know what that truth was. But for each one of us, we have to face our truth, to confront the life of the past and the present and living as we bear our soul before God and can better be honest with ourselves and authentic and more spiritually in tune. When we expose what those impediments are, or those hindrances are, and claim them, then we can shake them off. And we can let them go and walk in newness of life. Each night at the Olympics, there's this one commentator. His name is Chris Collinsworth. I don't know if you know who he is. I think he's a former football player. And he does a feature story. And on Friday, he was doing a story on Noelle Pikus-Pace. I don't know if you were watching that one part. She's the skeleton racer who just jumps on this one skeleton sled. And she had won the silver medal in Vancouver 4 years ago. But now she decided, well, I'm just going to retire from my sport. I'm going to have more kids. I want to enjoy my family and pursue this direction of my life. So apparently she had gotten pregnant. She already had two kids. But then she had a miscarriage. And there was an emptiness, there was a void, there was this great human hurt and need. And her husband then said to her, why don't you go and try to start up your career again in the Olympics? With her family by her side, her husband then helped her. So when the announcer was asked, Chris Collinsworth, the other announcer asked him, he said, what is the difference between covering the NFL stories versus covering the Olympics? And Chris Collinsworth said this, it's not about the money for the Olympics, for the Olympians. It's about the moment. The moment of deciding to seize the opportunity, the moment of fulfilling what God has for us. Noel said, if my husband hadn't seized that moment, then I wouldn't be here today celebrating this silver medal. For Jesus, when the scribes and Pharisees were criticizing him for breaking the Sabbath, Jesus' response is this. It's not about following the law to the exact T. It's about the moment. It's about that moment to bring healing. It's that moment to fill the void. It's that moment to help, that moment to free someone from their chains. It's about seizing the opportunity for righteousness and recognizing God's timing somehow working in all of this and acting together with God's Spirit. And when that moment comes, God will put us in that position to make a difference, to emerge victorious, and to triumph. The currency of truth is finding that point, that moment of righteousness, and taking hold of it, and filling and rushing into the void and the emptiness, so we can be helpful. So let us face our truth and let us claim our truth. Amen.